Meet Reed L. Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Reed Lance Rosenthal on the right side, and this week we're continuing our, shall we say, exposure of Agenda 21, the most diabolical, potentially most evil, most freedom-robbing concoction ever devised by man, and it's being perpetrated and has been perpetrated since 1992 right under our noses while we have been asleep at the switch and involved in our daily programs. And tonight we have a interview with Coleman Alderson. He's really one of the experts on this type of thing. He has a great website, littleredpill.com, and some great stuff posted on it. And next week we're going to have an interview. Coleman will be back, and we're going to have a politician, Nathan Tabor, from the Carolinas, who's actually written a book on this. When he discovered it, he just went ballistic, and he's written a terrific book. We'll be telling you more about that next week. And I would suggest you read it because he's done a bang-up job of exposing this colossal, colossal move toward globalization and loss of individual freedom, not to mention your home, your wealth, where you live, how you work, what you eat, you name it. Let me tell you that the number 21 refers to an agenda for the 21st century. That's how they came up with the name. Isn't that clever? Agenda 21. Yes, the number 21 refers to the 21st century. This is what they have planned for this century. It sounds like lots and lots and lots of fun, don't you think? Agenda 21, if fully implemented, once again, this is not a Twilight Zone episode. Okay, this is not like The Outer Limits. This is not some fairy tale. This is not, shall we say, part three Lord of the Rings. This is real life. This is happening right now. This is your future, your family's future, everything you've known and everything you've worked for, and the America that you love. It's all at risk. And it's all part of a big, big, big plan, and we're going to be talking about that in coming weeks. But I'm giving you the foundation now, Agenda 21. If it's fully invoked, it will do such lovely things to your life and the lives of all you love and the existence of the country which you love, as wipe private property rights off the face of the earth. It could force you and your family to live in a single-family cubicle, they call it an energy-efficient home, in compact housing, that's code word for row upon row of the same-looking houses, no individuality whatsoever, no land whatsoever. It could confiscate private farms and farmland. You've already kind of seen some of that out in California. You know, the snail darters, 100,000 acres in the San Joaquin Valley that can't be irrigated. I mean, really, that is a confiscation of land, right? The government has decided what land can be irrigated, what land can't, all in the name of environmental fanaticism. It can snatch away all private land holdings. It can ban individual ownership of cars. If fully implemented, the global government, using national governments, which are no longer sovereign, as its crutch, and local governments, which it's already begun to infect with its little poison pills, that's what we're going to be talking about tonight with Coleman, it will tell us where we live, what we eat, how and what we learn, and where and when we can move, if we're allowed to move at all. Because, you know, you have to have sustainable development. And you have to have social justice, and you have to have equal income distribution. Otherwise, we just don't have a happy planet, don't you think? I'm going to turn this over to Coleman right now. Coleman, how are you? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing great, Reed. Thanks for this opportunity to get the word out about our version of the Castro's agrarian reform.
Except you know, you're being kind. Yeah, on steroids. There you go. Now I think you're dialing it in. I talked a little bit about it last week. I tried to give folks a foundation kind of on the broad scope of this monstrosity. I mean, this makes healthcare, this makes Obamacare look benign. On June 6, 2011, Barry, our fearless leader, who lied through his teeth again to all of us in his current State of the Union speech. I mean, when you know some of this background stuff and you listen to this guy talk, there's almost you almost can't stop yourself from throwing your cowboy boot at the TV and breaking it. I mean, it's that outrageous. So he signed an executive order on June 6, 2011. And that executive order was 13575, and it established the White House Rural Council. Oh, I think that sounds wonderful. Coleman, why don't you tell us what's really going on with the White House Rural Council? What is it? What is it really supposed to do? Forget all the fancy smancy fuzzy words that gets everybody to initially like it because they don't know better.
Well, basically, it's a power play, and it's designed to seize 16% of the American population who lives in the rural counties. And they're getting a corner. They have a corner, trying to corner our energy. They're trying to corner our economics. And now they're going after our food supplies and also rural property. The summary of the order would go like this. There's federal control of rural American resources, food, health, education, schools, property. There's
energy, right? Energy, correct? Okay.
Absolutely.
So, and water. We've talked about on this show the czars and their quest, shall we say their thirst. God, I hate to use a pun like that. Their thirst for the control of water.
Yeah, and these the czars you mentioned, by the way, are going to populate Obama's council. And by the way, this is an executive order, and you talk about that shiny silver piece in one hand, distracting. Well, guess what was going on when they put this thing through, Reed?
Tell us.
Ah, the Wienergate scandal, yes. It was filling in all the news. And while Anthony Wiener's out there, presenting himself,
right.
They certainly got this under the radar, and it includes he's put his whole department, all his cabinet in there. He's put his council and economic advisors, some of the stellar folks that you mentioned, that populate his czar kingdoms. Some of the highlights are Council on Environmental Quality, Nancy Sutley. Few others, Lisa Jackson. She's one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah, Lisa Jackson is a peach. Listen, take 30 seconds and just tell the folks about Lisa Jackson. I haven't mentioned her.
Well, she is definitely an ideologue that she's smart, and a lot of people will say she's real smart. She's academically centered. But she pulls no punches when it comes to making her agenda to regulate everything that, if it doesn't breathe, then you regulate it, that sort of thing. And she is dead set against some of the things that they claim that they're really for. Now, when Obama comes out and starts talking about natural gas is going to be it, you just watch the EPA and see what they do.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I was thinking about that when I watched Barry talking the other night. And he's crowing about natural gas. First of all, he lied and said that the government research is what created this surplus of natural gas. Had nothing to do with government research. Had to do with oil company research. I mean, it's absolutely outrageous. And then, as he's talking about all this natural gas, how we're going to tap and how we're going to be energy independent after he's turned down the pipeline, stop drilling in the Gulf, and you name it, then he has the audacity to say that, we're going to be exporters of this technology. Gee, that kind of ties in with Agenda 21 and the czars. And we're going to be exporting this energy. What he forgot to tell folks is, the EPA right now is engaged in a mad scramble to shut down all this wonderful technology that he crowed about in the State of the Union speech, because fracking can cause earthquakes. I'm not making that up, folks.
Right. It can set people's it sets people's water faucets on fire on a regular basis too, which is bogus.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You bet. That's kind of like the that's kind of like the pipeline's going to ruin the Ogallala aquifer. You know, never mind the 2,000 feet separation by Earth, if there ever was a rupture. Never mind the fact there's been a pipeline in there for years and years and years and years with no problem whatsoever. I mean, look, this is all a guise. And everything this guy said the other night, he's doing and he is having his people do underground, out of sight, using things like the Anthony Weiner thing to cover up the steps that they're taking that otherwise would be public and under scrutiny. He's doing everything exactly the opposite of what he promises. That is who he is. That is what they are. So Lisa Jackson is a regulatory nut. I would say that she is the closest thing to a socialist fascist that exists in his government, and that's really saying something given who he surrounds himself with. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's true.
All right, so
I mean, she's not alone.
No. Listen, in his administration,
yeah,
it's not a question of any sane, rational minds who believe in individualism, freedom, capitalism, the American spirit, and the Constitution. They don't exist. They flat don't exist. It's just a question of who's deciding what is the worst of the baddest lot you could even imagine in your worst nightmares. So these are the people that are on his rural council, huh?
Absolutely. And I have to say this, that these folks, this is equal opportunity. I mean, whether you're liberal, whether you're a Democrat, whether you're conservative, libertarian, level of income, this affects everybody. This is true equal opportunity to get hammered.
It is a equal screwing.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. That's right. Other than,
and,
of course, the political elite, which, you know, get to line their pockets, get to control, like puppeteers, the puppet masses that they disdain. You know, other than that really thin veneer of humanity who knows what's best for the rest of us, that's right. It's an equal screwing. They will finally have their equality.
There you go.
So, this rural council, by the way, to put this in context for everybody, 16% of the U.S. population is, give or take, about 45 million people. And a lot of the folks here on KGABF-AM in Cheyenne and the EBN network, that's right, webtalkradio.net, Reed Lance Rosenthal on the right side, many of the people that are listening to this show live in rural environs. You folks that are listening to KGAB in Cheyenne and its affiliates, I mean, we're talking Wyoming, Colorado, the Dakotas, Montana, and certain parts of Utah actually get KGAB. I didn't even know that until I got some emails this week. This is about you, folks. This is about you. Take a look outside your window. You like that view you got? You like the ranch? You like the cows? You like not having a neighbor, or maybe not having a neighbor too close? Well, say goodbye, because that doesn't fit in with their plan for you, their plan for the earth, and their plan for taking your freedoms and burning them at the altar and under the guise of environmental stewardship. Coleman and I are not making this up. I will give you once again the sites. Go to Wikipedia, dial in United Nations Agenda 21. Go to the UN site itself, UN.org, and dial in Agenda 21. All 28 chapters, 40 sections, all the goodies are right there for you. You bet. They even have an Agenda 20. We didn't talk about this last week, but we're going to talk about it next week with Nathan. They even have an Agenda 21 for culture. That's right. They're going to control the cultural aspects of your life. This is total dominance and control. When this rural council that Mr. Obama surreptitiously in the dark of night set up, when they get fully rolling, Coleman, what is, number one, what is their mission? And number two, what do you expect to happen?
Well, the stated mission is to ascertain that rural communities are operating and living in a sustainable manner. And just interject for sustainable, just say in their lexicon, it really means acceptable. And that's what sustainable really means in their terms. And this executive order...
Acceptable on their subjective level.
Absolutely.
And we already know, folks, how their minds work because we spent the last 3 weeks talking about how their minds work and giving you examples of books they've written, things they've said, stuff in print. I mean, this is all true. It's a nightmare.
And so, the question I would have... Go ahead.
Yeah, what I wanted to ask you is, so what do you think is going to be acceptable, number one? Number two, how quickly do you think they're going to start to move on this? I mean, do you think they have the audacity, the arrogance, should we say just the sheer ideological will to move on it in 2012 prior to this election?
Well, it's a stealth operation. I don't think there's going to be any problem. And the way they do it is they throw out federal grants and tax credits and the kinds of things we heard about last night during this dog and pony show. But I think it's really going to be focused on this giving incentives. And people, mayors and regional councilmen, they, you know, they receive these funds, and they're like rock stars. They're like heroes when they come back to the people and say, look what I got. All we have to do is follow these little rules here and begin to tighten up here and there on things.
And so the poison pill is ingested and begins to dissolve.
Bit by bit. And it's,
bit by bit.
It's working. It's just grinding the whole system down. And that's frankly why people haven't taken notice, because it's so subtle and it's insinuating itself into our lives. And at some
point, it's like Cass Sunstein's theory of nudge.
Yeah.
And basically what progressivism means, it means you eat away at capitalism and install socialism and communism bit by bit. Bit by bit. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. That's their whole deal.
One of the things they one of the things they also do is they remove citizen input from the picture. They encourage the formation of regional councils. And I had one example on my website, and it has to do with Star, Idaho. And they thought they were gonna really improve their region, really make their neighborhood, you know, prosper and grow and all that. And then they kind of woke up in the middle of it and realized, man, this is this is not what we signed up for. And last I heard or had an update, their mayor has stood up, as many of our braver citizens are standing up against this influence. And a lot of it's coming through the International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives. But if we don't,
you know
the story.
One thing I would really like to know, who comes up with these names? I mean, who comes up? I mean, this is like so Orwellian. You know what I'm saying? It's
yeah.
You know, the Department of Doublethink, the Institute and Association for Double Talk. I mean, I don't know how many of you read 1984. If you haven't, you should. It happens to be a very good read. But you will put that book down and you will go, oh, my God, how did this guy see into the future? Wouldn't you agree, Coleman?
I would definitely agree with that. It's,
yeah.
You know, who these guys locked up in a room or something, and they're, I don't know. The word has it that they're sort of oriented toward the pagan type thing, so maybe Pan is dancing around their little brains and giving them
Well, listen, one of the things, they can only institute all this stuff, Agenda 21, all the tentacles of Agenda 21, the bankrupting of America, which they're well on the way to, and all the other little, should we say, ingredients of the grand plan, which is to collapse capitalism and institute on the rubble of capitalism their socialist utopia or communist utopia. They can only do this if they successfully tear apart and completely diminish three things: the Constitution, faith, and the family. Those three pillars of human society, and certainly of American society and American spirit, is what stands in the way of the progressives and the communists and the folks that we have talked about for the last 3 or 4 weeks. And that is why you see the secular attack on religion. That is why you see the attack on the basic necessities of life, the grab for control of those necessities, which is starting to reach an apex now with the appointment of this council. Because, folks, think about this. If they can control these rural communities, then they do control the water, and they do control the food, and they do control the energy. I mean, do you understand what a grand, absolutely brilliant, but absolutely sinister plan this is? And it is a plan. Make no mistake about it. And all the warm fuzzies that are thrown your way and all the nonsense and the rhetoric, which the last three years have proven by action, forget the words, by action, to be completely false, is part of the plan. They're relying on your normalcy bias. Coleman, I happen to think, tell me what you think, I happen to think that he signed that order. I mean, they took that window with the Wiener stuff, you know, when everybody was distracted. They signed it on purpose, but I think they wanted to get it done in that time frame because I think they're thinking in their minds. I mean, I'm thinking like a businessman. How would I set up an organization? How would I implement an important ingredient to an overall business plan? And that's a shameful thing to say to equate this with business. However, to put it in everybody's vernacular, I think they figured it would take them about 6 or 8 months to kind of get all the organization staffed and et cetera with their grants and the leftover stimulus funds, which is where a lot of this money is coming from, as was planned when the stimulus was done. And then I think they're going to take this year to kind of get set up. They're going to get every little poison pill out they can into local government, you know, innocuously, like we've been talking about. And they're going to be, like, geared up to go if this guy gets reelected. Because I think if Obama's reelected, it's Katie bar the door. With your opinion?
Well, definitely what you just said is Katie bar the door and load it with, mines and all that. Keep those guys out of our house. But I think what is happening is it's very cunning. And the way they're entreating, I mean, they're already getting people dependent. You know, you give the candy out and the kids keep munching on it, and after a while they're addicted to the sugar, and the government knows best. The government can do it, and, you know, don't worry, just you know, we'll take care of it, which obviously they cannot in any business-like fashion, as you mentioned. But to their own ends, this is very cleverly devised because it gets the local people on their side. And
yeah, but do you agree with how I'm kind of seeing how they're trying to time this?
Oh yeah, I
think on Obama's reelection, so that when he's reelected, basically they can hit the ground running. I mean, then they can really put the push on because, you know, there's nothing to lose. And you know, some folks roll their eyes at this. If Barry is reelected, it could very well be, oh, we may have elections. We may have the window dressing of elections. It could very well be the last free election in the United States of America. I really believe that.
Well, that's why we have to try.
Elections are Elections are a linchpin of the Constitution, and the Constitution is one of the three pillars standing in the way of their plan.
Right, and it's the flyover country that they're targeting right now. And
exactly.
This is the last bastion of, as you were mentioning, they've gone after our morals, they've gone after our religions, they've gone after our sense of independence. And really, the many of the rural folks are the last people standing, the last real people standing up against this.
That's right. So it's the last of the self-reliant.
Yeah.
Completely self-reliant. The people who grow their own food, are armed, can hunt their own game, can create their own life, can really produce, if they have to, their own energy. And you know, if they need a hand, they look at the end of the arm, and, you know, they can live completely, in reality, without government. And, you know, that is the type of person who wrote the Constitution. That is the type of person that the Constitution envisioned, obviously with, you know, caveats here and there. There were city people back in those days, too. And this is not down on city people. But
no.
Look, folks, if you live in an urban environment, particularly in a bigger city, you know, those of you who are in North Denver listening to this, think about this. Think about what happens when there's no natural gas, there's no water, there's no power. And never mind the no water and no power. Think about what happens when the shelves in that Safeway, in that Albertsons, in that King Supers are empty. I mean, this is not a pretty picture. Rural people aren't faced with that because they can generate their own heat. They can cut wood. They can generate their own power. They can grow their own food. You see, they're attacking kind of the last bastion of what we knew as the American spirit back in the 1850s when the Great West Migration began. Because they have to bring it under control. Otherwise, their plan won't work. Do you agree with that, Coleman?
Absolutely. That is their target, and they really intend to make it, their own province. The reason why he has formed this council, and by the way, none of the members are elected, and they're all appointed, and they're appointed, I'm sure, according to their ideology. But we
need
to get out.
Yeah, there's no congressional control or oversight. It's another end run around the Constitution. And shame on you. Shame on you, Congress. Shame on you for not standing up to this. Shame on you. I mean, folks, you want to get, you know, you need to let your congressmen and senators know that you've had enough, that there's a Constitution that is the basis of all law in this country. You want it followed. You want Agenda 21 and all the nonsense that goes along with it stopped. Stop dead in its tracks. And by the way, I got some phone numbers for you guys to call before we end the interview. And by the way, Coleman, thanks a lot for your time tonight. Much appreciated. I know that you are very, very, or just your time this afternoon. I know that you're really, really, really busy. And I'm looking forward to next week's interview with you and Nathan. But here's a toll-free number for you guys to call. This is to call your senators. You know, I think the House kind of has it together, but God, they're like they just can't get their message out. So to call your senators, 1-877-851-6437 or 866-220-0044 or 202-225-3121. Make those calls, 877-851-6437, 866-220-0044, 202-225-3121. Let your elected representatives who are supposed to be representing you in what's supposed to be a representative republic, let them know about this stuff. Tell them to get their staffers on some research and ask them why they're not standing up to this blatant destruction and attack on the Constitution and on everything that America stands for, not only through Agenda 21, but through other UN initiatives, too, like the Small Arms Treaty. Some of you may have heard about this. We're going to talk about it more next week. This is a UN ban on small arms worldwide, which, you know, it's another under-the-radar thing that Mr. Obama has going. you guys are going to really like this. In any event, Coleman, thank you very, very much for your time. We will be talking to you next week, and both I hope and I really believe the audience will too, and we'll have a special guest, Nathan Tabor. So I'm going to break for a word from our sponsors and remind you we are on KGAB AM, Cheyenne, Wyoming, and affiliates, and webtalkradio.net, DBN Network, and now a word from our sponsors.
An estimated 300,000 readers made Threads West, an American Saga, a number one bestseller and winner of 8 national awards in 2011, including Best Western, Best Romance, and Best Historical Fiction. Threads West, an American Saga. Author Reed Lance Rosenthal is a fourth-generation land and cattleman whose cowboy heart and poet's pen capture the spirit of the Western landscape. His long-standing devotion to wild and remote places and to the people, both past and present, who leave their legend and footprint upon America and the American West, is the inspiration for all of his writing. Threads West, the first of the series, available at Barnes & Noble, Hastings, and digitally on Kindle, Nook, and iPad. Threads West. ThreadsWestAmericanSaga.com.
Welcome back to On the Right Side with Reed Lance Rosenthal. Welcome, KGAB, Cheyenne, and affiliate listeners, and all you listeners out there in webtalk.net, Radioland. Thank you for listening in. Much appreciated. And I want to tell you, I really thank you. This show is growing by leaps and bounds. 10 to 20% increase in listenership per week. And I appreciate it. I hope that what I'm talking about is motivating you to research, motivating you to spend 10 minutes clicking on some links and reading for yourself. Remember, don't ever take my word for it. All that information is out there in their own words, from their own lips. You don't have to listen to pundits' opinions, this, that, and the other. These guys are telling you what they're going to do. They're showing you the blueprint for your future. It's not a pretty future. I think we've spent a fair amount of time on Agenda 21. I think you have a good foundation of understanding. Hopefully you've clicked on a few websites like UN.org and Wikipedia and checked out some of this stuff for yourself. And next week's interview with Nathan Tabor and Coleman, I think you'll find riveting. I don't think there's another word for it. Nathan could well be the foremost expert in Agenda 21 nonsense in the country. And his book is quite something, and we'll be telling you how to get that next week, because it is a compendium of Agenda 21 horrors. I'm going to spend just a few minutes talking about our Commander-in-Chiefs, Commander Barry. His State of the Union address, it was Monday or Tuesday night? You know, with such a memorable event, you would think I would be able to remember what night it was. Unfortunately, I just can't do that. I listened to it kind of off and on, drifting a little bit from rage to incredulity to being just flat flabbergasted to not believing my ears. You know, there's such things as distortions. There's such things as spin. There's such things as, should we say, stretching the truth. And then, of course, there's lying. I think it's disgusting that the President of the United States stands up, number one, and lies to the people of this country, and then number two, holds us in such low regard that he expects us to believe his drivel. I mean, he said some things in that speech that I could applaud if it was from anybody else, knowing what I know and hopefully what you're learning about this man, his administration, his goals, his associates, and his important place in the weave of globalism, which wants to take away your rights. For him to stand up and say he's for energy independence is a farce. I don't even have to tell you what hypocrisy that is. You're aware of the Gulf. You're aware of the pipeline. You're aware of $2 billion to Brazil so that they could drill oil. That's going to come up later in the show in a different context. You're aware of him doing absolutely nothing to stem the flow of $500 billion from this country to Arab countries. Let's redistribute that wealth on a national level. You know all this stuff. When he stands up there and says, when he quotes Abraham Lincoln on small government, and then in the same breath talks about 5 or 6 or 7 new programs and more infrastructure spending and 3 new agencies, and how he's going to appoint people and go around the quote-unquote do-nothing Congress. I mean, you're all aware that the House has passed 15 or 20 bills, all of which are designed to spur jobs. They passed a budget, and it dies in the Senate because of Harry Reid and Barack Obama for political reasons. The hell with the country. Let's get reelected so that we can foster and foist our Agenda 21 global governance, redistribute the wealth between the individuals in the United States, and make all Americans more dependent on government and buy votes with those small portion of us that are still paying taxes. I mean, you know this stuff. And I could give you a litany of things probably that you don't know that would bring home the hypocrisy of this speech, the disdain that he holds us in. Remember that quote from when he was running for president? He didn't know he was on the record. It was in San Francisco. You know, they cling bitterly to their guns and their religion. This is what those people think of us. That is truly what they think of us. Anyway, his State of the Union was more of the same. His promises 3 years ago to an American public that he was here to unite the nation is so much hogwash. The use of the word fair this, fair that, fair share, I think he used it, what, 7 times, 11 times? I mean, I've heard him say it so many times, it's a turnoff. My mind shuts down. This is just class warfare. This is divisive. And it's, in Mr. Obama's own words, un-American. This is the guy who said that George Bush was unpatriotic because he ran up the debt. And by the way, George really made some bad mistakes. But George Bush was unpatriotic, according to Barack Obama, when he was a candidate, because George Bush ran up the debt $4.5 trillion, give or take, over 8 years. This man has run up the debt $5 trillion and wants another $1.2 trillion in debt. You know, the extension of the debt ceiling, which is going to be a big battle in Washington. Oh, yeah. This is the guy who, who, as a candidate, said, well, you know, if I can't turn this economy around in 3 years, I'm a one-term president. What happened to that, Barry? I mean, can't you just stick with your promises? Don't run. Resign. Whatever. Anyway, we all know that's not the case. And I think most of the listeners to this show are fully aware of the hypocrisy in that speech and fully aware that this guy is a big government, tax and spend, liberal, bent on diminishing America, equalizing under the name of social justice, an Agenda 21 catchword, the income status and levels of prosperity in America so that we are all unhappily mediocre. No one has any special opportunity. And I think we all know, based on previous shows and the quotes I've given you, the videos I've given you to watch of himself, Barry himself, saying the Constitution is a fundamentally flawed document, that he holds the Constitution in rather low regard. Enough of the State of the Union speech. I probably wasted too much time on it as it is. The point is, you need to let other people know about these facts, these hypocrisies, these untruths. I think most of the listeners here, maybe not all, hopefully there's some folks tuned in that have made up their mind, or they're in the process of changing their mind, or they really want to get another viewpoint, or they want, even though I offer my opinion, they want actual sites and references that they can go to, which are neutral third parties, or the other side, like the UN, the United Nations. But you folks that are listening, you need to pick four or five people over the course of this year from now until November. You need to talk to them. I don't mean argue with them. I don't mean fight with them. Give them facts. Say, look, he said this and he did that. He said he would do this and he did that. He hid this from us when he was telling us that he wasn't hiding anything. Whatever it happens to be, pick four or five people and talk to them. Give them facts. And see if we can't turn this country around by starting to change the leadership. And unfortunately, Barry is just a symbol of what's wrong with the system in Washington. But he's a dangerous symbol. And he's a brilliant symbol. And he does not have our best interests at heart. Not in the least. You know, this week I'm going to expand my tortured tidbits. And I'm going to expand my tortured tidbits because this week I don't have tortured tidbits. I have like tortured nuggets. Tortured chunks that are going to drive you crazy, particularly in light of Barry's wonderful speech earlier in the week. Oh, man. Let me tell you. Let's start with robo-signing credit cards. You know the whole thing that's gone on with they had to stop foreclosures, Chase and J.P. Morgan and a whole bunch of other big banks in 2010 because people found out that there were false affidavits. They were robo-signing documents. Thousands of people literally got foreclosed on that shouldn't have been. Other people had their loans turned upside down. They had wrong payments, the whole nine yards. Well, guess what? That's just the tip of the iceberg. There's a much bigger robo-signing fraud coming your way, and that's on credit cards. There was an article, January 17th, actually, in the American Banker, and it was reported on by the Washington Examiner. Let me quote. This is from the American Banker. Quote, if sloppy record keeping and problems with false affidavits is a problem with mortgages, it's 100 times bigger in credit card accounts. That's according to Michelle Weinberg of the Legal Assistance Foundation of Metropolitan Chicago. Well, look. Did you know that there's almost an equal number of judgments against credit card companies now as there are for credit card companies because of these illegal practices? And did you know that like J.P. Morgan and Chase, some of the same big banks that were involved in the robo mortgage signing scandal, and by the way, who agreed to pay $25 billion to settle that? Gee, you think they did anything wrong? Yep, they did. Well, they've stopped pursuing credit card collections. Huh. I think there may be a problem here. Keep your eyes tuned for this. We're going to have more on it in future shows. Oh, what do we have next? Ah, Wisconsin. You know, here's a little thing. Did you see that Barry, even though he was like in the state next door, didn't go to Wisconsin? I wonder why that is. Maybe because the Wisconsin newspapers are starting to break stories about some really nasty underhanded practices by the unions. It seems that in their collective bargaining, one of the things that they had entrenched was that folks had to buy health insurance. The teachers had to buy health insurance, and the governments, of course, local governments, etc., and school districts had to pay for that health insurance from one company. And did you know that that company was owned by the unions? Once again, folks, I'm not making this up. Let me give you some examples. First of all, some school districts in Wisconsin have gone from a $400,000 deficit to a $1.5 million surplus since there were limitations placed on collective bargaining. They're hiring new teachers, you know, not firing teachers like all the liberals and unions said would happen. The insurance company, by the way, that was involved in all this, the insurance company is called WEA. That also stands, amazingly, for the Wisconsin Education Association. The WEA Trust kind of made lots of money because the school districts were all locked into one insurer. Imagine that. Let me give you an example. There's a superintendent by the name of Glenn Schilling. He actually went out and tried to change this. He brought in United Healthcare. The teachers overwhelmingly approved United Healthcare, saving the school district hundreds of thousands. This is prior to the collective bargaining laws being overturned. The union said, no, we don't care what our members want. You have to buy from us. Well, let me give you a few more examples of the savings. Now that all these local communities have been freed from the WAE trust deal, almost all of them have switched insurers. Let's see, Schilling's school district is going to save $690,000 in 2011 and 2012. Insurance costs that have been about $2.5 million a year will be about $1.8 million. I think that's pretty considerable savings for a school district that's kind of struggling to teach kids. Isn't that what this is all about, teaching kids? And then the Heartland Lakeside School District, they got out of the collective bargaining agreements that mandated the WEA trust coverage. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reported that the Pinocchio School District will save $378,000 over the next year by leaving the WEA trust. The Menomonee, I probably pronounced that wrong, Falls School District, which is kind of north of there, they'll save $1.3 million next year. Let me give you just a few other examples of school districts according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, hardly a conservative paper, of their savings by getting out of the WEA Union Trust Insurance. The Pewaukee School District will save $378,000 leaving the trust. The Menomonee, I probably mispronounced that, Falls School District will save $1.3 million. It looks like there's a big iceberg under that little tip of frigid, cold union ice that they want us to see. We're going to take a little break. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal. On the right side, KGAB Cheyenne and Affiliates, and webtalkradio.net, the EBN network, and a word from our sponsors.
It is the spring of 1855. America is on the cusp of her great westward expansion and, reluctantly, on the threshold of becoming a world power. The promise of land, freedom, self-determination, and economic opportunity is known worldwide. Immigrants from every continent are eager to exchange their lives of drudgery and emptiness for the hope and romance of a country embarked on the course of greatness. This is the setting of Threads West, first of eight books in Reed Lance Rosenthal's number one best-selling, award-winning epic series of the Saga of the American Spirit. Follow the adventurous men and strong women who love and struggle in the beautifully vibrant but unforgiving landscape of the West. Threads West, available at Barnes & Noble, Hastings, and many local bookstores. And as an ebook on Kindle, Nook, and iPad. Threads West. And to reserve the second novel in the series, Maps of Fate, coming in February or March, go to ThreadsWestAmericanSaga.com or MapsOfFate.com.
We have just a few minutes to finish up our chunky tidbits of torture this week, so I'm going to kind of move through and save a few for next week because they're just too juicy to let go. Did you know a Department of Justice official is going to plead the Fifth? He's going to plead the Fifth in the Fast and Furious case. That's right. Patrick Cunningham, he was in charge of the DOJ whole Arizona Fast and Furious gun running operation. I think these folks have something to hide. And mark my words, lots more is going to come from this. This is kind of like Watergate. It's a big snowball starting to gather steam as it rolls down the hill. To quote Daryl Issa, who's doing a great job investigating this, quote, "The assertion of the Fifth Amendment by a senior justice official is a significant indictment of the department's integrity in Operation Fast and Furious. The former head of the ATF has previously told the committee that the Justice Department is managing its response to Operation Fast and Furious in a manner designed to protect its political appointees," end quote. Are we surprised? No, we're not surprised. I'm going to finish up very quickly here. My engineer, as usual, is doing his end-of-the-show antics with a little talk about Europe. Do you remember I keep telling you it's not over? It's not over. Charles Dallara, the managing director of the Institute of International Finance, that's an association of like 350 huge global institutions that hold European bonds and Greek bonds, they've offered to cut their bond holdings by 70% to allow Greece not to default. Guess what? Greece says it can't do that either. Do you think they're going to default? I think they're absolutely going to default. To quote Porter Stansbury, well-known investment advisor, the 70% loss scenario was not snatched up by Greece. I have to conclude Greece is headed for default, one way or the other. Hold on to your saddles, ladies and gentlemen. Europe is disintegrating. It's not getting better. Don't believe them. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side. Have a great week.
For more information about Reed and his work, please click on the globe in front of you on the webtalkradio.net page. You can also click on his book, Land for Love and Money, and his new best-selling historical Western series, Threads West, an American Saga. Watch for the second volume of the saga, Maps of Fate, coming soon. And, of course, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archives to catch up. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed L. Rosenthal on the Right Side.